Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Good evening, John Jeffers here on Contra Radio Network for the Jeffers Brief. April 14th, it's a Saturday evening. Welcome. Got a lot to cover, short time to cover it. Let's get started right away. One, if you're a conservative, if you subscribe to the CRN Facebook page, move over to MeWe.com. They respect your privacy. You're not going to be spied on. You're not going to go to jail because of some arbitrary decision by a Facebook monitor. I like to call censor. Check it out. Do it. A lot of us are starting to move over there now. You're starting to see and understand what this is all about. And as far as MeWe is concerned, I think they're a much superior platform to Facebook. Facebook is just bigger because they've been around longer. Doesn't mean they're better. All right. I'm not going to dig in to the missile strikes on Syria. If you don't know what's going on with that, I can't help you. You've been living under a rock. You have not been paying attention. You need to get with the program and get on it. Second of all, the world is waiting to see if the Iranians or the Russians try to, shall we say, retaliate against U.S., French, or U.K. forces still in the area. We'll see what happens with that. Personally, I don't think they're going to. At least Russia won't. Russia's not willing to go to war over a third world country like Syria. Iran, on the other hand, well, they very well could. All right, as promised, as I knew this was going to happen, I had a suspicion they were going to attack on a Friday anyways, because it's Friday. Government goes, shuts down on Friday, really, for the most part. So that doesn't mean this. What I want to tell you is, I've promised you patriots out there, and you preppers too, need to pay attention to this, because this is important stuff here. I've been telling you about Sundance and the information they're coming up with, especially as we talk about the ongoing attempt at the coup d'etat against the President of the United States, a duly elected President of the United States. Sundance, if you've just joined me, never heard of this person. I don't know who their contact is. I don't know. But I've got to tell you, his information is usually spot on, right on the money. Whether it's a month before the media gets it, not the mainstream media is even paying attention. They're trying to ignore this whole thing's ever happening. Or sometimes it comes a few days before it breaks. Now, yesterday we all know that before the missile strikes, the IG has released the report on Andrew McCabe, the deputy assistant director of the FBI. There's some information that's come. This is telltale, and I want you to understand that you heard it here. And this is why. And Patriots, I want to know something right now. What are you willing to do? Because I do believe that the quote-unquote resistance, they're not the resistance. You know what they are? They're a bunch of whiny bitches. That's right, you heard me. A bunch of whiny bitches who can't stand the fact that their candidate lost a general election. Well, you know what? Too bad. Grow up. Get over it. Instead, they are now manufacturing crimes against the President of the United States and anybody associated with him so they can start the impeachment process. This president has more crap on his plate than any president I've ever known. This is ridiculous. All right. This is came from yesterday from Sundance. And this is this. You got to dig the details here, right? This is important. All right, we may go a little bit over today because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. I want you to understand it. Because when it comes time, when it comes to these things, these political subplots, these political threats to the president, you have to understand the details. Details are the hobgoblins of little minds. No. Seriously. If you don't know the details, how in the hell are you expected to make an informed decision? All right. Now, the OIG reported on former FBI director, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, is devastating to the small group, and not just what it outlines, but also for what it doesn't provide. Now, this is going to be real simple here, guys. I need you to follow along, all right? If you have to stop, rewind, just to figure it out, to hear it again, that's cool, man. That's all right. So there are bound to be multiple reports and discussions which will flow from an outcome of the content therein. However, there is some of the big picture takeaways for those who have followed the very granular details. One of the pertinent issues, it is now demonstrably proven that Andrew McCabe lied to FBI investigators on several occasions. We know that. And also that he lied to the Inspector General. Oh, jeez. Note the criminally important factor here is lied to FBI investigators. On page 29, there's some very specific and interesting details that deserve to be highlighted. So we conclude that McCabe lacked candor during his OIG audio recorded interview under oath on July 28, 2017, when he falsely stated that A, he was not aware of special counsel being authorized to speak to reporters around October 30th, and B, he did not know because he was out of town where the special counsel was or what she was doing during the relevant time period. It is not just the next paragraphs that outline the scope of the attempted duplicity and fraud by McCabe, but also the footnotes. This is interesting now. Now remember, we know specifically from congressional evidence provided by the FBI investigative unit, the FBI took custody of the initial batch of text messages between DOJ FBI Special Counsel Lisa Page and Peter Strzok on July 22, 2017. It is clear those text messages were provided by Lisa Page to clear up the contradiction between her truthful statements and the lies told earlier by Andrew McCabe. This is getting really delicious. You guys are going to love this. The first interview with McCabe takes place on July 28th. After McCabe speaks to FBI investigators and before the IG has an opportunity to understand the evidence provided by Lisa Page proving the false statements. Now, the footnotes here are important. Footnote number 14, page 20. In response to a review, a draft of this report, counsel for McCabe argued that in asking McCabe about the October 27th through 30th text between special counsel and the deputy acting director regarding the Wall Street Journal, the OIG engaged in improper, unethical conduct and violated an allegedly explicit agreement with McCabe that when he was interviewed by the OIG on July 28th, he would not be questioned outside the presence of counsel with respect to matters for which he was being investigated. Now, McCabe provides no evidence in support of his claim, and based on the OIG's review of the available evidence, including the transcript of McCabe's recorded OIG interview on July 28th and the OIG's contemporaneous notes as described below, McCabe's claim is contradicted by the investigative record. Here we go. Get ready for the ride. As initial matter, at the time of the July 28th interview, McCabe was not a subject of the OIG investigation of disclosures in the October 30th Wall Street Journal article, nor did the OIG suspect him of having been the source of an unauthorized disclosure of non-public information related to that article. Now, the OIG did not open its investigations of McCabe concerning the Wall Street Journal article until August 31st. After being informed by the INSD that McCabe had provided INSD agents with information on August 18th, 2017 that contradicted the information that he had provided to INSD agents on May 9th. Second, The OIG has no record that McCabe stated in advance of the July 28th interview that he was represented by counsel. Moreover, the recording of the July 28th interview shows that at no time did McCabe give any indication that he was represented by counsel. The transcript of the interview shows that the OIG informed McCabe, who has a law degree, that the interview was about, quote, issues raised by the text messages, end quote, between special counsel and the DAD, Deputy Acting Director, and that the OIG would not be asking McCabe questions about other issues related to your recusal in the McAuliffe investigation or any issues related to that. McCabe responded, okay, and did not articulate or request any further limitations on the questions he would answer. The OIG added, this is a voluntary interview, which that means is that if you don't want to answer a question, that's fully within your rights. That will not be held against you. The recording of McCabe's interview further demonstrates that the OIG was entirely solicitous of McCabe's request to not respond to certain questions. For example, towards the end of the interview, and before beginning an area of questioning unrelated to the special counsel DAD text on the Wall Street Journal article, the OIG prefaced his question to McCabe by stating, quote, if you feel this is connected to things that are making you uncomfortable, will you let me know, end quote. McCabe responded, yeah, you can ask, I'll let you. If I don't feel comfortable going forward, I'll let you know, end quote. At a later point in the interview, after answering a number of questions unrelated to special counsel DAD text, McCabe expressed a preference for not answering further questions, and the OIG did not ask further questions on the topic. Third, McCabe's submission mischaracterizes an October 4, 2017 email exchange with the OIG as evidencing that at the time of McCabe's July 28th OIG interview, McCabe was the subject of an OIG leak investigation. As noted above, the Office of the Inspector General did not know about McCabe's involvement in the disclosure to the Wall Street Journal at the time of the July 28th interview and only opened an investigation into his actions related to that disclosure on August 31st, after the lack of candor referral to the OIG by the INSD. Lastly, despite having been questioned at length by the OIG on November 29, 2017 about the reasons for his false statements to the OIG on July 28th, McCabe never once raised any of these issues. Moreover, the same counsel who submitted on behalf of McCabe these accusations of impropriety by the Inspector General was present for the entire OIG interview on November 29th, yet never raised once any of these issues. McCabe had every incentive to raise these issues as early as possible, and surely on November 29th, when he was represented by counsel and was asked pointed questions by the Inspector General about his July 28th testimony denying that the special counsel had been authorized to speak to reporters during that time period. McCabe did not do so until nearly 7 months after the July 28th interview, and nearly 3 months after the November 29th interview. It's a long footnote that essentially outlines the timeline of events and effectively eliminates any affirmative defense that McCabe might attempt. However, more important, this is where it's going to get fun. You guys are going to love this. Note the fact the interview was recorded and transcribed, because that leads to the more glaring point missing from the actual IG report. There is no accompanying addendum containing the transcript or the recording. Why not? Okay, buckle up. Here it comes. Because the transcript and recording of the interviews with McCabe are now evidence for a criminal prosecution. If Horowitz's federal prosecutor, John Huber, was not going to criminally charge Andrew McCabe for lying, we would have seen the transcript. The absence of the transcript and the intentional notation of the recordings by the OIG, the Office of the Inspector General, indicate McCabe will almost certainly be charged. The evidence is overwhelming. Lastly, the release of this IG report is affirming our prior expectations. There will be several releases of individual components within the larger OIG investigation. This is only the first release and only covers one specific issue of Andrew McCabe directing leaks to the media and then lying about it to FBI investigators. Now, each of these aspects is an investigation unto itself and will likely result in a standalone report. You're saying, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you. Unlawful and coordinated media leaks. That's part one of McCabe. False statements to investigators about unauthorized media leaks. Again, part one. Clinton email manipulated investigations with predetermined outcomes. False testimony to FBI, Congress, and under oath to the Inspector General. That's Comey and McCabe. He could probably write a book in federal prison, but it won't do him any good. Manipulated FBI 302 reports and or false presentation of documents. Can you say perjury? Willful political corruption by Assistant Director Andrew McCabe and Director Comey, etc. Unlawful use of FBI and NSD databases. Political issues within Maine Justice, DOJ, NSD. That's the National Security Division of the Department of Justice. And that relates to Carlin, McCord, Orr, and Yates. Yes, that's right, Sally Yates. You know, the one who is just oh so self-righteous. Yeah, I remember her. Issues with the FISA court. False presentations. Source material is the Steele dossier. And State Department involvement. This brings in Miss Hillary. Unmasking. Origination of counterintelligence operations. The issues being investigated by the OIG are massive and complex. And that's why it would be beneficial to carve out the FISA court aspects, declassify the content, and allow those inquiries to proceed independent of the IG and federal prosecutor John Huber. You follow me now? I know it seems a little bit large on it. Now, you're probably going to ask, well, when are these other reports coming out? In a letter from Michael Horowitz, who's the Inspector General, to Senator Chuck Grassley, the DOJ Inspector General informs Congress of multiple investigations and multiple releases. The primary OIG investigation into the FBI DOJ politicization will be released in May. That's next month. In the footnote, Horowitz outlines the Andrew McCabe report was a secondary investigative outcome of the initial investigation, and the supplemental FISA investigation will result in an additional release unattached to the primary report. Come out it will. Yes. Come out it all will. Think about it, people. This is going to start coming. This is going to start unraveling, this attempted coup. Now, we need to understand this. This is also from Sundance. And this person reports that a flood of DOJ, FBI moves, leaks, and details this week highlight the desperation of an aligned group of Obama officials and ideologues, which began with the FBI raid on the offices and home of Michael Cohen. All the subsequent activity is connected. This week began with a dramatic early morning raid on the home, office, and hotel room of a sitting U.S. President's personal attorney, Michael Cohen. The week ended in equally dramatic fashion in a packed courtroom, following numerous media leaks from, where? The New York U.S. attorneys and the FBI investigators about the content of their Cohen raid. In the big picture, all this week's activities appears related to a coordinated propaganda strategy. Excuse me. Oh, man. So looking up from the granules, we can see a clear and comprehensive plan to flood the zone with propaganda narratives to distract, dilute, and obfuscate. Yeah. If we could look at the big picture with the stylistic context of the James Comey book, the timing of the release, the timing of the raid on Cohen, the leaks of scraped material from the raid to the media, all this falls into a pattern. a strategy that was originally outlined by Jane Comey's friend back in October of 2016. Now, we knew the DOJ-FBI raid on Cohn was likely a larger strategy to gather opposition research. With the OIG reports coming rapidly to conclusion, and with the IG reports being so detailed and their fact outline, the small group is at an inflection point where their risk is growing. A larger awakening is taking place. Knowing the connection between the FBI, the DOJ, NSD, Fusion GPS, the Clinton campaign, and Christopher Steele political activity in 2016, we also pondered if there was a larger motive behind the raid might be connected to the use of the DOJ and FBI databases to conduct searches on political opposition and the need to hide those searches therein. Say it ain't so. I cannot help but wonder if this whole thing with Cohn is somehow tied to his lawsuit against Fusion GPS. I'm certain one of the things Cohn would be looking to find out during the discovery phase of his lawsuit is just how did they tie the name Cohn to a trip to Prague. The problem is they have the wrong guy. That would lead the NSA database searches, which would lead back to the small group they are working for, Mueller. Are they going to try and pressure him into dropping the suit in exchange for them not pressing charges? Was this a brushback pitch trying to intimidate Cohn? Were they hoping to see that he's found so far on them? Can't help but be curious if these two are connected. So, unbelievable. Tell me this isn't a government operation. The intelligence mistake of Michael Cohn traveling to Prague is a direct line thread connecting the FBI, the DOJ FISA 702 searches, and to Fusion GPS and the Steele dossier. As such, there would be a very strong motive for similarly aligned political entities within the U.S. intelligence apparatus to take strong action to cloud the connection. In short, they need to lower the risk. So this week, we also discovered the origin of the 2016 FBI counterintelligence operation against candidate Trump began as an outcome of the CIA referral connected to Australia and the UK. In essence, fellow ideologues within the GCHQ, which is the United Kingdom, and their Australian counterparts worked collaboratively with the U.S. intelligence apparatus to oppose Donald Trump, and it created a false narrative that would undermine the 2016 presidential election. So the UK intel and the Australian intel apparatus are they colluding to interfere with a U.S. presidential election? After Donald Trump won the election, all the aligned intelligence entities, including Obama officials therein, were now at risk. The issues extend beyond the activity of the DOJ and the FBI, and one of the trails of their collective activity ended up inside the Steele dossier with the false fact surrounding Michael Cohn. The intelligence apparatus needs to create something, anything that removes that connection. And as if on cue, late the afternoon, one of the leaks from the Mueller team specifically targets this threat. Listen closely. The Justice Department special counsel has evidence that Donald Trump's personal lawyer and confidant, Michael Cohn, secretly made a late summer trip to Prague during the 2016 presidential campaign, according to two sources familiar with the matter. Confirmation of the trip would lead credence to a retired British spies report that Cohn strategized there with a powerful Kremlin figure about Russian meddling in the U.S. election. These fools. This is where it becomes critical to remind yourself of how far this group has already gone to manipulate the outcomes of the election. Do not sell these Machiavellian mind people short. Remember, one of the key benefits of the raid on Michael Cohn was to create the architecture underneath media narratives, stories created out of loincloth. The actual content of evidence captured in the FBI raid is irrelevant. They only need the basic element of truth that the raid took place as the foundation for the downstream propaganda. What they're saying is they just did the raid, and now they can make up whatever story they want, and they don't have to say, well, this is the information we got from the raid. All they got to do is just put it out there and let the people in the mainstream media come to that conclusion on their own. So the UK, Australia, and the US intelligence apparatus, that is the foreign CIA and domestic FBI, collaborated to influence the 2016 U.S. election outcome. As such, those same entities have a vested interest in now creating a false series of facts that remove the threat within the false Michael Cohen Prague visit. A smaller group of Mueller activists within the DOJ and FBI need to create any alternate appearance in order to cover for the very real likelihood the intelligence apparatus used the Christopher Steele to launder search outcomes from the abuse of the U.S. FISA database. That's NSA, FBI, and DOJ, NSD, National Security Division. This crew needs to create a plausible way to specific Cohen event that could have made it into Steele dossier without using U.S. intelligence databases. They can't do it. The raid on Michael Cohen creates the basis for this false claim. The use of friendly foreign intelligence to potentially substantiate false claims is the plausible deniability they need. Everything else is essentially propaganda. So they knew they would lose the fact battle, so they chose to fight a propaganda war. Now that's the essential argument made by James Comey's friend Benjamin Witts in his plan of action written in October 2016 when he described the insurance policy. In his outline of what to do in the unlikely event Trump wins. You know, you might remember that Witts was the FBI Director James Comey's friend, and they used to leak his memos to the New York Times, which is why Comey himself has a leak problem with the government. Okay, let's remind everybody of the big picture. The stylistic content of the Comey book, How Written, the timing of the release, timing of the FBI raid on Cohen, and leaking of scraped material from the raid to media. These are all connected and coordinated. They've been planned. What do we got here? As far as Michael Cohen says, and he presents his passport, I've never been to Prague in my life. Ho, ho, ho. Imagine that. Imagine that. Anyway. So, as I said, I want you to stay in touch with us, okay? And I'm going to keep putting it out there. I know a lot of you are preppers, but a lot of preppers are patriots, and a lot of patriots are preppers. So, before I call it a Saturday evening, I want you to understand, you need to start thinking about this, boys and girls. If, in fact, they try, excuse me, Congress tries to impeach the president on this nonsense. I don't know about you, but I've already made a decision for myself. Anybody wants to join me, you can. I intend to go to the streets of Washington, D.C. I do. I think defending a duly elected president of this republic is more important than, well, it's bigger than me. It's essential to this country. It's essential to the future of my children, or my child. I have one daughter. And it's also essential to the future of your children and for generations to come. This cannot be allowed to happen again. And those that are involved with this ongoing coup d'etat need to be held account. They need to be held to account for it. One thing that Congress is afraid of, and guess who showed us this? The Democrats and the liberals have shown us that if you put a big enough demonstration together to the point that the media has to recognize it, guess what? Congress folds. I don't know about you, but I'm willing to defend this republic, the Constitution, and this president. It's coming, it could very well come down to that. So I'm asking you now, start making a decision for you and yours. All right, I'm John Jeffress here on the Contrario Network for the Jeffress Brief for my prepper and patriot friends out there. I say to you this: be safe, be alert, and be vigilant. I'm John Jeffress, and when more stuff breaks, I'll let you know. I don't think we'll see anything on Sunday, but we will definitely see more information coming out on Monday. I'm John Jeffress for the Jeffress Brief. Thanks for listening tonight. Good night.